4 VWA. Mobile. Got out of bed in 4WRO.
Tell you what, I've already made a little over $600 today and negotiated for a new window in the construction in the back porch of my house that I'm having built on to. Instead of a 4 foot by 5 foot window, it's going to be a 4 by 8. My wife is all happy, happy, happy. What's going on with you this morning, big man?
Nothing. Just sitting there in sack running a little FT8. Hey, you got an email. I sent you an email last night.
No, I've got an email that I got from you that was read early this morning. Man, yeah, I guess you are a little bit of a dinger.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be kind of boring for you to go over there with a bunch of plinkers.
Nah, that's the fun part of it.
Took my little 223 over there that I custom built and was checking it to make sure that it was zeroed in. And I've got my target. I sent a picture of it with me in the picture down to my son in Florida. And it's 5 shots. And they're all either on the edge of the bullseye or in the bullseye. And the bullseye is not but the size of a quarter. And I was shooting that at 100 yards.
Sights or scope?
That's scope. But, you know, it's the first time I've been on the range in 9 years. And, man, I just couldn't seem to get the heartbeat worked out, just timed out right.
Yeah, takes practice.
Yeah, and I'm so far out of practice, it's obscene. But anyhow, you know, for time and ability fresh out there again, I was happy with that. You know, 5 shots inside a quarter at 100, that's not too shabby.
That'll work for government work.
Yeah, and I tell you what, this particular platform is a A3 flat top. The JPI trigger group set at about a pound and a half, and it's a Wilson 26-inch 1-in-9 stainless steel bull barrel, and I got a little Harris bipod on the front to kind of steady it a little bit, but other than that, off the shoulder, and like I said, the heartbeat coming into play on that one.
Be shooting 55s.
No, that 1-in-9 barrel stainless steel, it really likes 68 boat tails.
Really? That's surprising. Normally, you get above 62, you want to be in a 1-in-7.
Well, 1-in-7 is standard mil spec, isn't it? And that's a 55.
Nope. Got it backwards. 1-in-9 was the original that was shooting the 55s. And then they went to the 1-in-7 shooting the 62s and heavier.
Well, I shot 55s in this thing before. And, you know, I put close to ammo can of 500 through it just to make sure that it wasn't me or the ammunition, and I'm getting 68s from the same source as I had the 55s, and I don't know, it just seems like I had what I call flyers, be more than a half inch flyer at 100, and that's what I was getting with those 55s, but they were butt tails, you know, they weren't bucktails. And like I said, this thing just, it's really stable with those 68 bucktails.
You know, you put down the tube what it likes. And if it likes those, that's what you use.
Yeah. I've never really taken that one out past 100. Because the real, well, around here, you know, easily max at 100. And I've heard that the SCDNR range over at Pauline, southeast of Spartanburg, has got 2 and 3, but I haven't been over there, so I'd kind of like to take it out and see if the Hornady manual is correct on the drop.
Yep, that'd be a good way to check it. Yeah, we can go out to 300 there in Greenville.
Yeah, I used to be a member over there at the Greenville Gun Club. That's been 15, 17 years ago.
Yeah, probably just about time we joined when we moved up here.
Well, was it going through some politics at the time?
No, not really. But, you know, I wasn't involved in the rifle or pistol side. I was more involved in the skeet side.
At the time that I was over there, last 2 or 3 years I was there, that would have been, as a matter of fact, I let my membership over there go in 2014. So that would have been 15 years ago. And the reason I let it go is because they had a little bit of a power struggle as to who was going to run things. And then they had a range manager that, you know, you read one set of rules and then you go down to apply them on the rifle range and the range manager comes down and says, no, that's not what we're doing. This is, we're doing it my way. I don't care for that. Let's set a rules and let's go by them, period.
No, I agree with that, but no, I don't remember any of that going on.
Well, that's more than likely before you came around then. But yeah, hey, just publish a set of rules, make sure they meet all the NRA standards, all the training standards, you know, and go by them. I don't need some Yahoo coming down there and saying, no, you need to do this, you need to do that. I said, well, that's not published in your rules, boss. Well, I don't care. No. That's when I move on.
I know what you mean. You know, either go by the rules or just throw them all out and go crazy. But, you know, they'll figure it out. But, so we've enjoyed it. We used to be out there 2-3 days a week. But, like I said in that email, return on investment wasn't very good.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I remember now they had just recently started the cowboy action shooting down there.
We were members at the same time then, because I was a member a couple of years before they started that.
Okay. Well, how about that? We're down there at the same time then. Now, did you ever do the cowboy action shooting?
Nah, it didn't interest me.
Tried it out and did it for 2 seasons. And it was fun. It really was a lot of fun. And that's the only reason I'm out there. You know, for the enjoyment of it. And the bunch they started up there at the range, man, it was fine with me. But, man, I tell you what, some of them really, really got competitive on that thing. You know, on the time down, boy, I mean, they were really on it.
Guys who we shot skeet with, Jim, I can't think of his last name. His wife's name was Bonnie. They got involved in that pretty heavy, I think.
It can really be fun. It can really be fun, especially getting into the competitions where you go out in full costume and, you know, you got to make sure everything. You know, they kind of started loosening up the regulations as to what you could use. Shoot, man, I had a Navy Arms shootist, and it was 45 long Colt, but I tell you what, that thing, the parts were interchangeable with the original Colt.
sounded interesting. His name was Jim Gill.
You know, that sounds pretty familiar. But then again, it was 15, 16 years ago, so... That was a good time out there, but... You know, I live over at Inman now, and it was a great facility. Matter of fact, a buddy of mine liked to shoot skeet over there. He wanted me to come shoot skeet with him all the time. And I just kind of, you know, with the distance travel and the rules thing, I just kind of got turned off on it.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I know how that works. N4WRO.
So said that you're not really doing any competitions anymore. Are you doing any?
Nope. A couple years back, Steve, something happened. We don't know what it is. Doctors don't even know what it is. It's all up in my ears where my balance is, you know, screwed up now and then. So it just, I said, nah, we don't need to be doing that anymore.
Gosh. About 1996, I got my daughter in the car and drove her to school. She was in the private school down there at Southside Christian on Wood Road. And I walked her in, and it hit me. And I went from perfectly fine to laying in the floor in the bathroom in the school trying to hold on to the john because my head was swimming so bad. I spent 4 days flat on my back trying to get my head to stop spinning. And that was in 1996. I'll never forget it. And let me tell you, since then, about once a year, I'll get, not real bad, but I'll get a spin, and I'll pull over to the side of the road no matter where I am, and I'll just stop, and in about 5 minutes, it goes away. And what the doctor said that I had was a light case of Meniere's.
Talking about, yeah, mine ain't like that, though. Mine is 24/7. And, I mean, it's not bad. I didn't drive for about 6-9 months, something like that. But then it got to the point where it stabilized a little bit. But, you know, when I'm sitting down doing stuff, I'm fine. But sometimes when I'm in motion, things aren't stable.
Oh, man, I can't imagine. Boy, that's just... That's messing me up just thinking back on that 4 days, man. I tell you what, I don't know how you do it. Now, dude, what is the medication that they started with an A? I believe it was. They had me on that for about 6 months until it finally started clearing out completely. And I can't think of the name of that stuff. Do you have to take medication for your inner ear on it?
No, there's actually nothing they can do. You're not thinking of meclizine, are you?
That's exactly what I was thinking of. But now there's a generic meclizine. It starts with an A. And that's that naturally my insurance company, a bunch of cheap you know what's. They had me on the generic version of it. Said, oh, it's same thing. But meclizine, yeah, that was the branded name.
4WRO. Yeah, that's a lot of people, they take that before they fly and stuff like that for motion sickness.
You know, you were talking about the shooting sports. Well, I also flew, and my dad and I rebuilt, you know, probably 3 or 4 different airplanes together. And when that happened to me, I had my ticket suspended. So, and I didn't mind a bit because I wasn't about to try to fly. But I had never had motion sickness before that. And now that I'm past it, I never have any motion sickness out on the ocean, in the air, nothing. Not vertigo, nothing. It's just that once a year maybe, I just get swimmy-headed, and I just have to pull over, stop, and concentrate. In about 5 minutes, it's gone. So I don't know what mine was all about. They never did figure me out completely. But no, it's miserable. Brother, I feel for you.
You learn to live with it.
It's an overcome.
Exactly.
Well, I never did pursue getting my license back, you know, my pilot's license back. My brother still flies, and I go up with him, and, you know, he'll let me fly a little bit, but, shoot, I had gone as far as instrument rating, and I really miss it, but, you know, I just can't take a chance on that, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you didn't lose your license. Your license was forever. You just can't pass the medical.
In effect, basically the same thing, because if you can't pass your medical, you ain't gonna fly no more, that's for sure.
Wouldn't want to do it.
Well, as a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember or not, or if I told you or not, but I work around medical. I do medical imaging and, you know, with x-ray equipment and that type of stuff. So I've been around medical all my life. And as part of the training, some of the flight instructors for standard ticket would bring me over and I'd tell them, you know, I'd basically give them the overrun as far as what the flight surgeons would do to, you know, do their medical. And, you know, I would, you know, tell them, stand on one foot. And they'd stand there, and I said, okay, put your foot down. Now, pick up your right foot with your eyes closed and see how long you can stand on one foot. Well, physiology says with your vision you get about one series of corrections, and after about your third move in correction, you're going to put your foot down. It don't matter. So I used to teach them that, and you know, I'd tell them to get in a room, and this particular thing was kind of like a flight simulator, and we tipped the room just enough to show them that they were not flight level. Right? Come back, and I'd show them, I'd take a necklace and show them how it was hanging at an angle, and they were all just completely flabbergasted. Oh, I swear I was standing straight up and down.
Well, when I was teaching, I'd take my students, put them under the hood, have them close their eyes, put their feet flat on the floor. And I'd take the aircraft, roll it onto about a 40-degree bank, but I'd be pulling back hard, putting some G's on it. Do about a 360, maybe a 720. And then I just gradually, slowly roll that sucker out to the opposite way. And I'd ask them, I'd say, okay, which way are we going? And they'd always say, oh, we're turning left, we're turning left. I said, open your eyes. We'd be in a right-hand turn at about 35 degrees.
yep. I know what you mean. Yep. Well, those were good days, and I sure enjoyed that stuff. Like I said, once I had that dizziness, I just never really went back and pursued my ticket again. And I could probably pass the flight physical today. But, you know, for that 5 minutes once a year, it's not worth it.
Yeah, you just about got covered up. I had DMR radio on. That thing come blasted in here.
Okay. Well, I wonder if somebody's trying to make contact, breaking in.
No. It was on my HD I had sitting there. I didn't realize I had the volume up that high.
Okay, so you do DMR?
A little bit and learn more about it.
I've got to get you in touch with a friend of mine. He's trying to figure out the DMR, and he's had such a problem with it. He's got one of those HT Minitones, 8-something, and, man, if I could get him fired back up on that thing again, I could get him back into ham full bore. He's got his technician license. I'll tell you who it is. It's a buddy of mine I went to high school with, Steve, KN4WQQ.
That's what I got, one of those little Antitone HDs. KN4WQQ.
KN4WQQ, Steve. And he's a heck of a great guy. But another guy that we went to high school with is out just north of Dallas. And he's the one that gave him the radio to get him started. And apparently he's got a little bit of programming that's gotten askew. And we really don't know anybody out here that does DMR. So, anyhow, if you don't mind, I'd like to get him a hold of you.
Yeah, I can look him up on QRZ if he's got an email on there. I'll shoot him an email.
Well, I'm not even sure he's on QRZ. He never did really make it that far. He dug in trying to figure out the DMR and the software for programming that thing. And something about the way it's set up, he cannot program it off of his laptop. And he finally kind of backed off of everything.
Hold on, give him my email.
Cool beans, bud. Yeah, I wouldn't give that out for nothing until you say it's okay. You know what? I piddle with some old cars, and I'm sitting here at an intersection, and here comes a 69 Boss 429 Mustang. Oh, my goodness, I'm drooling. Oh, that just tears me up.
Tell them bring it to my house. They don't need to be driving that. I do.
In a 69 429, I guarantee you one thing. It's worth both more than both of mine put together.
I know what you mean.
I got a little 68 Mustang coupe. It's a resto mod. I got a 347 stroker in it with a T5 5-speed and a 300 gear Positrac rear. And I put vintage air conditioning on it, Borglum power steering, and it's a sweet little ride. And my other one is a 73 Mach 1 convertible. It's a 351 Cleveland Q-Code. And it'll scoot along pretty good, too. They're both fun cars.
That sounds like it. Hey, I just looked him up. He is on QRZ, but there's just basic information, no email or anything. But yeah, go ahead and send him, get a hold of him and give him my email. And I don't know if I can help it, but I give it a shot.
Okay, just to verify, K Kilo, November 4, Whiskey, Queen, Queen.
Yep. Yeah, Stephen M. over in Greenville.
That's it. Yeah, he lives down in Malden. And, yep. All right, good deal. I'll see if I can't stir him up.
All right, sounds good. All right, bud, I just heard you in there. I need to get a couple things done. I'm going to jump off here. The kitty cat's looking like he's going to chew on my leg if I don't feed him.
Well, yeah, but keep one thing in mind. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So you get your honeydews done. Later, guys. 73, KN4, VWA. I'll be clear after you find me.
Okay, buddy. I will talk to you later. N4WRO.